Familiar with museum artifact collections, you may have heard that in many museums, a large percentage of the museum's artifacts are usually not on display. In fact, depending on the institution, over 90% of a museum's collection may be behind locked doors. Hopefully not getting dusty, but often out of sight, resting quietly on a shelf. There are good reasons for this, but there are also other reasons too. I'll be sure to discuss that in a future episode. But today, I want to tell you about something I experienced in collection storage that changed my perspective on museum behind-the-scenes tours forever. Hi, my name is Lindsay Smith with Exhibit Smith. I'm rethinking the way we save our stuff. I help people interpret, preserve, and better understand the objects that make up our world. If you have a lot of stuff, it might feel overwhelming. But believe it or not, I truly believe that artifact and heirloom preservation can be both easy and fun. In fact, I've developed a series of introductory level workshops on this topic just to prove my point. Learn more about them at exhibitsmith.com. Anyhow, back to my career-changing story. I've shared this story many times over the years as an example of how we can rethink the worth of the artifacts or our precious personal belongings that may be kept deep in storage. And hopefully this will inspire us to get some of those artifacts or heirlooms or items out of the closet and shared with new audiences. This experience I'm going to share was also a great reminder to me why you should never default to using the phrase, kids today, ... Kids today don't like this kind of thing. Kids today don't like that. Kids today only stare at screens, you know, blah, blah, blah. Kids are kids, period. It's how we engage with them that's changed. Oh, and one more thing. As I tell this, I'm not exactly sure how old the kids in this story actually were, whether they were tweens or teens, but I'm kind of old now, or at least I feel old sometimes. So honestly, anyone high school age or younger is a kid in my book. Sorry. So please excuse me if I kind of switch between teen and tween and kid. To describe them. And this is an old story. So honestly, all these kids are well into their adulthood today. Ugh, time flies when you're having fun. Anyway, on to the story. 20 years ago, I was working at a large museum, a tourist destination that attracts visitors from all over the world. The building was and remains full of amazing exhibits and artifacts and experiences. No two workdays were ever the same, nor were any two museum visits. Things changed all the time there. Well, back then, a friend of mine was working with a group of so-called at-risk teens or at-risk youth, or I don't know, tweens. I already mentioned all that. And I found out that they were headed to the museum on a field trip. So I told my friend to let me know if they had any spare time at the end of their fun, busy day, because if they had any extra time, I could try to squeeze in a little behind-the-scenes tour of the museum's extensive collection. I thought that would be something they might be interested in. I assumed that these kids would be busy for hours. The museum is huge, and there was so much to see. That's when I was completely shocked when only about 30 minutes later after they arrived, my friend called me to tell me they were done. "Did you see this exhibit?" I said. "And this one? And this one?" Yep, they'd seen it all and were apparently very unimpressed. Because kids get unimpressed easily. Now, the adults, the chaperones weren't unimpressed. The kids. Teens or tweens, they have unpredictable expectations when it comes to whether something is cool or fun or not. And apparently today, nothing was cool or fun to them. So I arranged to meet the group by the entrance to the collections department, which, like at many museums, was a pretty nondescript kind of entrance. I mean, after all, you don't want to really advertise where all the artifacts are kept. And besides, if you're lucky enough to get a behind-the-scenes tour, a humble entrance, in my opinion, makes the whole experience even more exciting. And as soon as they walked into the first room of the collections department, there was a collective gasp. My friend looked surprised, but I was used to people reacting to the sight, so I smiled to myself and moved along. And I think this gasp with these kids happened for two reasons. Well, wait, let me take a couple steps back here. First of all, and perhaps most importantly, when I introduced myself, I made it very clear that this was a part of the museum that is off limits to almost everyone. I mean, it's the truth, but I wanted them to know that they were having a very special experience. I also wanted to let them know that I was excited to show them around. No boring old tour guide here. The second thing that drew them in was when I first opened that nondescript door to the department. It wasn't even storage. And they saw a world that was completely different from the museum they'd just been in. This world was filled with unique old things of all shapes and sizes. In reality, we just entered a room used to house large objects like historic cars, which, I mean, honestly, really packs a punch when you first see a historic car, right? Old cars have that effect. They saw a much used workspace, complete with the grime from car maintenance and giant wooden storage crates. They saw where the museum workers ate their lunch and did normal work things. They saw an area that they honestly weren't supposed to see. And what's more exciting than that? I walked them back to the first official collection storage room, which admittedly is also the nicest. We stepped into a brightly lit, large room filled with compact rolling shelves. Some of the artifacts were already on a display of sorts, resting on shelves behind plexiglass. Because we led behind-the-scenes tours for members and various VIPs often enough that it was worth it to keep some curated pieces readily available and visible without having to create too much additional work each time we had to give a tour, right? It makes sense. The rest of the room, though, was hidden behind rows and rows of compact shelving, only made accessible when a member of the collections department turned a giant crank and all the shelving rolled over to make a hidden aisle appear wherever they wanted. Cool stuff, right? Well, especially if you're a kid on your first ever behind-the-scenes tour. The magic worked perfectly, and these tweens were immediately sucked into the excitement of it all. With each object I mentioned, the kids got more and more excited. They began asking question after question. I honestly couldn't keep up. And then there was a pause, and one of the girls asked, in a very, I'm too cool for school kind of way, do you have those things that they used to use before computers? I looked at her and said, do you mean a typewriter? Yeah. Okay. Now, this was 20 years ago, sure, but even back then, typewriters had been out of fashion for these kids' entire life. I mean, today's teens probably think of typewriters as ancient history, and my kids probably think they were used by cavemen or something. But even back then, it was still old school. But I digress. So, 20 years ago, typewriters were still an intriguing old novelty. And perhaps coincidentally, the museum did happen to have a surprisingly comprehensive collection of early typewriters. Bam! So that really worked out. But that part of the collection wasn't kept in the shiny behind-the-scenes tour room of storage. It was literally in the back of the back. So I led them through the catacombs of the storage area. Okay, so storage wasn't really that creepy or anything, but if you're not familiar with the space, it does feel kind of like you're going into the depths of somewhere. It gets darker. The artifacts look less shiny and exciting. And I could tell that these kids were here for it. They quickly realized that this wasn't even part of the normal behind-the-scenes tour, and that now they were VIP VIPs. Awesome! And then, finally, there we were, standing in front of a wall, cylinder block old wall, the very back wall of one of the back storage rooms, where the shelving was old and the lights weren't as bright. And in front of us, neatly resting on shelves stacked three or four tall, was the typewriter collection. I don't remember. Maybe there were 18 or 20 different models, ranging from the earliest days of typewriters to the most recent, but still old school word processors. Hey, if any of my coworkers are listening to this, can you drop me a line and tell me about how many typewriters the museum had or still has? That'd be great. Thank you. Anyway, and there it was that all the kids, not just the girl who'd posed the question, but all the kids got extra excited. Typewriters, can you believe it? They started absolutely inundating me with questions. And guys, I'm not a typewriter expert. They were engaged. They were walking from machine to machine, looking at how the keys were arranged. Some of the typewriters were really old. I'm talking pre-QWERTY even. You know, QWERTY, the standard keyboard layout of Q-W-E-R-T-Y on the top row of the keys. These were from before that was even invented, and the kids noticed that right away. They were excitedly comparing and contrasting all the models by size, shape, layout, you name it. They were getting physically and audibly excited sharing the space with all of these really old things. The kids, who were unimpressed by every experience they came across in the museum. And here they were in a darkish, dusty-ish corner in the forgotten part of the building. It couldn't have been less glamorous. But kids don't need glamorous. They just need to find something that's new and exciting to them, that makes them think and, in this case, feel a little special. At one point, my friend who was their chaperone turned to me and said that this was the first time that she'd ever seen one girl in particular smile. And there they were, laughing, engaging, happy. These were at-risk kids who had backstories that were probably not great. But in that moment, they were having a blast. A completely random, couldn't have planned it if we tried, blast. When the tour was over, I sent them on their way. I don't know if they then decided to walk around the museum anymore with the new outlook. I don't know how the rest of the day went. I don't know how the rest of their lives went. This was 20 years ago. They're all adults now. But I know how that day affected me. That tour was one of the most transformative moments in my museum career, and I love sharing it. I hope this story motivates you to think of the ways you can share the objects in your life with those who you may not assume would be interested. Whether you're working with a museum collection or your prized possessions and heirlooms at home, don't assume that someone won't be interested in something that's important to you simply because they're not interested in XYZ or that they're of the wrong generation or background. It's all how you set the scene and tell the tale. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. I invite you to subscribe to my podcast. And once again, you can see everything Exhibit Smith is up to at exhibitsmith.com, including grabbing yourself some free downloadable resources. Thank you so much for listening. I'm already looking forward to the next episode.